This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You better clutch your nuts, honey, because it's time for Squirrel Talk.
Oh, hello, squirrels. It's me, Hillary Ass, and my co-host, of course. You're here too, right, Selena?
Yeah, I'm here. Don't you worry. Can't you see me?
Yeah, I can probably see you, but no one else can. I mean, No. You're like a ghost of the world. Come on.
It's true, but listen to my soft, dulcet tones.
Love those tones. Oh. Those tones really get me hot. Mostly because it's really hot in my room, not because you're sexual. What did you think I'm talking about? Selena, seriously.
We do have a history that we don't need to talk about on the pod.
Are you sure? You don't want to go back to those golden days?
Nope!
Okay, well, anyways, we have some other people on the podcast. By the way, this podcast, if you're listening to it, it's on this network called the Sonar Network, which is kind of like an accumulation of podcasts, Canadian podcasts. And we're really excited because we were really alone for a really long time in the dragosphere on the Sonar Network, right, Selena?
We have been, yeah. There's a lot of drag podcasts out there, but not here on the Sonar Network. Mm. So I think it's time we welcome another drag podcast to the network.
Yeah.
To pick up the slack that we've left behind, really.
Honestly, they're a little nerve-wracking for me because, I mean, like, they're a little bit more famous than we are. A little more Canadian famous, which is, like, not famous anywhere else.
But, like, some might say they are more qualified than us to talk about Drag Race.
Me qualified or half qualified.
Yeah, partially qualified.
Like 0.1 repeating.
0.05.
Okay, it's time to bring out the podcast du jour on the Sona Network, a drag exclusive. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, they'll introduce themselves. It's the semi-qualified queen, Cynthia Kiss and Juice Bob.
Yay! Hi. Welcome!
Thank you for having us, ladies. That was an amazing intro all over the place. I love it.
Of course. No, we don't do anything by the script.
You owe us $500 because we're teaching you how to podcast properly.
Oh, right. This is your lesson, ladies.
How does it feel, ladies, knowing there's a new drag podcast on the block? Are you intimidated?
Really? Honestly, it feels amazing.
Do we give you a complex?
Yes.
I want to let you know something. By the end of this podcast, there's going to only be one, and it's semi-qualified queens.
Listen, okay? Yeah, well. We'll hand it right over.
We're going to start Sonar Beef. It's the beef no one anticipated nor wanted, but we're going to start it.
No, listen, this beef is going to be stronger than Shea Coulee's beef with Juicebox on Twitter.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, Juicebox canceled yet again. Tell us all about it.
I was having a rough week, and I just basically tweeted that, like, I haven't been able to go to the gym, I've been sick, I have had, like, stomach issues, so February was putting me through it, so I said, fuck February. So Shay retweeted it and went, oh, wow, Juicebox hates Black History Month. Mm-hmm. She said, fuck Black History Month, and I was like, no!
I was guessing you were in it.
This is why I like Juice venting to me instead of doing it on Twitter. It gets her in trouble.
Right. It gets her in trouble.
Yeah. But I think everybody got that it was just a joke because all the responses are like laughing and stuff. So
no, it's a joke.
It's a joke, everybody. Yeah.
I take this very seriously. I take this very seriously. I'm taking it to the president of Canada. And you guys to be canceled. And so
isn't that the president of Canada, like that that lady who like tries to arrest cops in Peterborough? Isn't that what she calls herself? The president of Canada?
Oh my God, I haven't heard of this person.
Is this the mega stuff in Canada? Mega Canada?
We have like this, I don't remember her name, but she basically like walks, like she like radicalizes a bunch of people and then they'll like show up to like Peterborough and like go to arrest the police officers and like she's all like an anti-vax freedom rally, but she's this like tiny little old lady.
Okay, so she's not ACAB.
It's funny that
she's not like
this person. What have you been? You've been going to her rallies lately, Juice Box?
No, I just see it. She's not she's like anti-government in that weird, like radicalized way.
Okay. Well, we already know how you feel about February. So tell us how you feel about this little old lady.
Oh my God. I'll punch that little old lady in the face.
She deserves it.
Yeah.
Quite the week for you, Juice.
I know.
I'm having a rough go, yeah.
It's been rough. Well, I mean, come on. Now you're starting a podcast. Now you're glamorous. How you're feeling?
Well, you started the podcast. How long has this podcast been going on already?
Over a year?
A year?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just like celebrated our anniversary last month because, we kicked it off January last year. I know. And then the Sonar thing was perfectly timed where it was like 1 year. Now we're joining a network. We just feel like, I don't know, we're becoming too legit to quit.
Hey, come on, MC Hammer reference. I love that.
Bam.
So your podcast, you review Drag Race. I guess you also interview. I actually listened to your interview with Kimora Amor because I was like, this is juicy. I want to hear it.
That was a good
That's
episode.
Our most popular one. Yeah.
People
yeah.
love the tea. Juice was nervous about that one, and I was like, no, they'll love it. They'll love it.
It was intense. And you both did a really good job of being like letting Kimora speak and like letting her say her piece and like also
we had to edit out, like an hour out of that interview.
Oh,
like we really let Kimora say her piece. There was so much content that we had to cut out.
Well, you had to remain neutral Kimora through that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Kimora, I think sometimes she'll say her same point in a couple different ways, and that was making the podcast very long, but it was like, oh, you've definitely made that super duper clear. So I wanted to make sure she felt like heard, and we totally had to post that episode. But it's a spicy one. And Drag Race review episodes, and because there's always Drag Race on, we keep getting caught in this loop of just reviewing episodes, but we do want to dive back into bonus content or regular content with interviews with alumni and just drag queens at large, like not necessarily just associated to this television show, because I think
are you calling me fat? I'm a drag queen at large. Thanks a lot.
I want to interview some fat drag queens. Fat drag queen.
Not that you would ever have me on your podcast anyway. I wouldn't go. Whatever.
Yeah, they don't have Camp Wanakiki girls on there. They only have
exactly. Yeah, my show aired in the United States apparently.
Apparently, on YouTube in the United States. We actually have a similar journey. It's like we did a Drag Race podcast for so long, and then now we're finally like, okay, enough reviewing Drag Race episodes. We want to talk to people. We want to go through topics.
Yeah, we did a lot of interviews, too. Yeah. And speaking of Kimora Amor, you might want to go back into our history, because we had Kimora before she was on Drag Race.
We did. Oh, we did. Yeah.
And she was saucy back then, baby, so don't
it's
worry.
True.
I believe it.
She always has been.
Definitely.
So anyway, the topic today is what? Like before, then, and after, right?
Before, then, and after Drag Race and fame and TV.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like the bar, kind of like the bars, the TV, now the podcasts.
Those are what we have here. We have two people from Canada's Drag Race, Juice from season one, Cynthia from season two, and then we have Hillary Yass from season four of Camp Wanakiki.
Wow.
Top three, may I add. I'll say top two. And then I'm also here to moderate.
And you were on, you've done some cool stuff. Like you've done like the video games and things.
Sure.
Like that, which is kind of cool. Like, I don't think.
I need to interrupt.
What's the video
game? You keep saying video game. Like what video game?
I'm a voice and body in Far Cry 6.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's huge, babe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's massive. That's like that's on my vision board. Like I want to do that for a video game. That's so cool.
Honestly, I hope we get to do it because it is so damn fun. I played a drag queen. Like my character was a drag queen. and it looked nothing like me, but I did the stop motion capture where they like put the dots all over my face and I wore the like mocap suit.
It ends up looking like RuPaul.
Yeah, right? No, she actually looks a lot like Barbie Jo Bonton, actually.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. It's or Madame LaQueer, I might even say. Yeah, it's very interesting. It was a really
they got yours
cool.
And they said make it draggier, like they threw like bigger lashes, bigger hair. Right? I'm screaming. Yeah,
she's big. She's got tattoos. She's part of the military. It's really cool.
Oh my god, I need to check that out. So we're all super fucking famous,
right? Everyone in the world knows all four of us.
All of us. We're gonna dominate. Take over. But like I said, there can only be one in the
And like you said, you don't even know what podcasting is about until you've quit at least 5 times. So
right,
I love that. We have. So what is are those like hiatuses, like little breaks? Leave them wanting more.
Yeah, they are. Sure. They are.
It's also sometimes like Drag Race. Quit. Reviewing Drag Race sometimes. I mean, I don't know if you're there yet, but I mean, like. Drag Race 10, once you do the 7th season in a row, you know, you start to kind of be like, oh, everything just feels like it's the same. And the quality keeps getting better, and yet I still have to critique this. But like...
Oh, yeah. Splitting hairs. Splitting hairs. Sometimes it's like there's nothing actually negative to talk about, but it would be boring if there wasn't like two sides to an argument. Our latest hot topic is how short season 15 is because they edited it down for MTV. It's so every week we're just like, these quick edits. Like I feel like half of
and
our
you know
podcast.
What's really crazy is you go back into the history and like season 9 was a short season. Like there were a lot of seasons that were like 40-minute episodes, but for some reason they weren't choppy. Like they didn't.
Well, they shot them that way, right?
They shot them to be 40 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the problem with season 15 is that it was shot for 90 minutes, and two weeks before it came out, they said you have to cut at least 40 minutes off of this.
No.
Because it went from a 90-minute show to a 40-minute show. So that's why there's massive gaps. That's why there's a lot of things that feel really unsure about like a lot of the outcomes, because a lot of the outcomes that we see that production kind of pushes through is like, this person won because it makes more sense for their storyline, you know? So a lot of times we're seeing wins right now where that storyline got cut out for time, you know? So then we're seeing some things and you're not falling in love with certain people like they probably planned for you to do. Like things are being misconstrued. People are starting to hate people. People are starting to love others. It's kind of just turning into this big mess.
That's infuriating. That's not fair to the girls. It's not fair to the people who spent thousands and thousands of dollars to be there.
And a lot of the girls like have a lot of stories that they keep tweeting about being like, my story isn't being told. Damn. They're not talking about the things that I wanted to talk about that make these things relevant to why I did these things. Like it's not being shown, but I promise you why I did this and this and this makes sense. Like it's really sad to see. So if you follow the girls on Twitter, you'll start to kind of like see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those things, instead of like she said what she said, it's like, well, I said it, but it's not there.
Like a lot of that's just kind of like just got swooped out, and they're like, you can even tell like sometimes with RuPaul when she talks there's pauses in her sentence that they've cut out, so it's just like so it's like they really cut that timing down.
The runways do remind me a lot of the earlier seasons, however. Like, they're very quick. A lot of the early seasons used to have, like, very, very fast runways.
Right? Yeah, they like, ran away.
This is a good topic, actually. Why don't we talk a little bit about just, like, the logistics of running a Drag Race podcast? Because now, you know, we're doing it. Like, the problems, the struggles, like...
Oh my God, I know our, not number one, but for us, we're bi-coastal. And we talked about it even when I hopped on the call, the 3-hour time difference from Vancouver to Toronto. Ooh. It can be sneaky because sometimes it's like one person's just like, we only have so many hours in the day that we both can like overlap and connect with each other. We totally make it work. But that's one of those things where it's always kind of like, would you say like a numbers game juice? Like we're always like, okay, so that means like when we're both in the same city, we have like a sigh of relief and we're like, oh, great. Okay, we're both going to be like at the same time doing this episode. I find it's a little, it's a little bit of
anytime
a hat trick.
Anytime we chat, we'll be like, Synth will be like, yeah, meet you at 1. And then one of us will always have to be like, wait, EST or PST? And then it's just like, oh, PST. Oh, okay, so that means it's this time for me. So that's always kind of the big sort of like, block for us is just like, what time is it?
It's crazy to me that you even think in PST, because as us being like, all of us are from Ontario, right? Cynthia, you're from Ontario, you know?
Totally. And I actually, yeah. I assume people don't think in Vancouver time. So often when I speak, if I'm talking to someone from Ontario, I'm already doing the math for them being like, 1 p.m. your time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the best. We love you, Ontario.
Wait, I just want to back things up a little bit. I know we're talking about podcasts right now, but when did you leave for Vancouver, and why did you go to Vancouver?
Yes, when and why? So I moved in, like, I think it was 2017. I started working for a West Coast company. Do you know Lululemon? That clothing company. Yes. So, like, the same creators.
It's a very niche clothing company.
Are you familiar with this little indie workout brand, Lululemon?
You haven't heard of it. It's just very underground. Yeah.
So the creators of Lulu started a second company, and I worked for that. And it was called Kitten Ace. And it was a bit more like, I don't know, bougie and less athletic. And it kind of expanded really quickly. And they brought me out to the West Coast. And at the same time, I started doing drag because I thought, oh, this is scary. I don't actually know anyone from Vancouver. So I kind of also want to try drag. So two birds, one stone. It would help me with my, like, social life, which, lol, never had one, never will. No, I'm just kidding. I obviously do. But then it just kind of exploded. I did drag exploded. And then, like, my career kind of was taking off corporate. Design world. I was like a menswear designer, a color designer. And this was all happening at the same time in tandem with drag. And that was very intense for me because I was like, both were taking off in this really big way. And just knows I'm a bit of a workaholic, but even sometimes, you know, burning the candle both ends is too much. So I took a bit of a break and focused on, you know, corporate design. Yeah. But then during the pandemic, I was let go. And that's when I auditioned for the show. And that's why my narrative on the show was like, you've come back like from the dead, like you retired from drag. But it was really just like a year off, and then COVID hit. So it felt a little longer. But I love doing drag. If I had a choice, I would pick drag because it's way more fun. Like it's way more fun than like a corporate office job. Like I love it.
Do you ever see yourself going back to the corporate office job, or like this is it now?
Well, I think there's days where, you know, we get up there, we do our 5, 6, 7, 8, and it like the body hurts and you're like, can I really do this like my entire life? Like, can I really be a show horse like this? So those are the times where I think it might look familiar like corporate days, but maybe it's still an entertainment. Yeah. I love being kind of, I don't know, I'm more like calendar, email, like I like my business running really tip top. And I know that I've taken that from my corporate experience. So that'll always stick with me, whatever I'm doing. My new mantra in life is cool projects with cool people. And I keep doing that. So.
Cool.
And somehow I work with juice box.
You said cool people. You can't have it all, babe.
You can't have it all.
Yeah, I've heard the juice box. You don't have a six pack. You have a tetra pack. Ooh.
Hey, tetra pack is what they call a wine box.
Oh, okay. See, I'm a non-drinker, so I wouldn't know that.
Yeah. I'm a former alcoholic, so I for sure know that.
Yes. Hey.
Oh my God. Well, since we asked Cynthia, juice, what's your life story?
My life story? Oh my God. Yeah, I was born as a wee lad in Windsor, Ontario. I don't know. Well, what do you want to know? Where do you want me to start?
Your beginnings in drag.
Trauma.
My traumas in drag. I basically started, I was like a little like twinkie socialite when I first moved to Toronto.
I used to serve you at the Lakeview, like in the middle of the night.
Yeah. It would be 3 a.m. at the Lakeview. You would be serving me. I would be absolutely wasted with like all of my like little girlies. And yes, I remember those days. I loved the Lakeview. I would get disco fries all the time or deep fried pickles. It was the best. Love a deep fried pickle. But I was like basically at the beginning of like starting like my like excessive drinking. I was like incredibly insecure, like hated myself, hated my body. hated kind of everything about me. And I would always go to these drag shows and like, I was friends with all the queens and like, I loved them, but I noticed that they had this like massive amounts of confidence. They mm-hmm. always had friends. They got free drinks. They never had to like wait in line. I hated waiting in line. And while I was like crushingly insecure, I was also like so overtly confident in my skills
right.
that I was just like, I could do that. So, I decided to just jump right into it. I was a bit of a hog for like a year, but, I feel like I really
drag of, or did you just go into it? You're on your own?
No, only one person had ever put me in drag and it was Scarlett Bobo one time. And she like kind of just did my face like once, like
right.
once. And,
you're
that
the first
was
person sort of, in my face.
I was, yeah. yes. I did it. Didn't I do it twice?
I don't know. I think you only did it once.
Did we just do it once? I thought we did it twice.
I think it was for some reason.
Who knows?
We won twice. But we, what was I saying? But yeah, so we, so she did my face once, but that was it. But it was mostly just self-taught, kind of like making mistakes, sitting in my room, practicing, going out, seeing what looked good, what didn't look good. And yeah, then I kind of just sort of fell into it and sort of fell into the love of drag, you know?
Yeah.
That's sort of how I started with it.
Cool.
The love of drag. That's such pageant BS, but we'll take it.
I mean, I was going to say, I was like, juice, the love of drag.
Oh, I just came in. I'm just a little, the love of drag, for the love of drag.
I'm your contestant God, like, number 13.
Exactly. In Toronto, the love of drag. Toronto is a grind.
It is a hard working city for drag queens.
Yeah, the way y'all perform at cruise, the nonstop numbers, I'll never get over that.
I went back and did one show and I couldn't move for 3 days. I was like, I can't do that anymore.
I'm like, I was always fine because I worked a lot, but I never did marathon drag. Yeah. And now I'm hosting brunch at Glad Day, and I would do it every second week, which is great. But right now I'm doing it every week while Aaron is on leave, and it's a 5-hour show, and it's just like hosting that
great show, though.
It's a great show. It's so much fun. I love doing it, but I'm 42, and like it hurts. It hurts. Yeah.
When I talked about the body pain and drag, everyone's head nodded like, yeah.
Yes.
You feel it.
No.
Yeah. No. Do your stretches. Yeah. Do your stretches. But 5 hours, my God, every week. That's intense. Good for you.
Yeah.
Sam.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the easier shows, I find, because you only have to do 2 numbers a set.
Yes.
When cruise is you have to do 3 to 4 numbers a set.
100%.
And you're doing that from 11:30 until 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, the way I've heard it described is it's like you have a 30-minute slot, fill the slot. Right? Like they'll say like, this is your window from this to this at cruise. I thought that's what I heard.
Yes. Yes. And no, it's more like you have 4 songs. Like
okay, cool.
They say put 4 songs down. And do them all, talk in between. Like if it's one of those things where it's like, if you finished your 4 and the person after you isn't ready yet, cause they're horribly irresponsible. Then you do another song.
Name names.
Oh no. Say their names. No. I've had that experience with a lot of girls where they like go out for a smoke, and socialize and get a drink. And then their cue to like change for your next set is when your 4th song finishes and you're like, what the fuck? So
yeah,
that's happened a lot at cruise, but I'm not there anymore. So who cares?
Yeah. Hillary, what was life like before Camp Wanakiki for you? Career-wise.
Well, you know what life was like before Camp Wanakiki with me.
I do, and so do our listeners, but let's tell Cynthia.
I want to know.
Yeah, tell us.
Well, I mean, I think that's the funny thing. Is like, I mean, I'm very aware of like the marathon style in Toronto, and I've always resisted it. And I've always gone into the comedy stuff. So, I mean, like, when we worked with House of Licks, for example, Selena and I, like, we're technically with Vicky. We did our weekly show. I would produce comedy shows. So, like, I would kind of think in, like, various monthly shows, you know? But, like, that's not to say they're not exhausting, because I'd be standing there hosting the show for, yes, literally 3 hours.
Yeah. And you're also, like, you would be writing and, and like, you'd sing live, too, and there's a lot
so, like,
going
it's exhausting
on.
Or
behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had this discussion with some girls who do the thing, and maybe you can talk about this, Cynthia, what it's like in Vancouver, or, like, you know, in the before times.
Totally.
Like, some girls in Toronto, for example, they just don't have the mental capacity to do like super creative work because of all this lip schminking.
Yeah, like marathon drag kind of like trains you to just do the hits, right? Do the things that people want to see so you don't become background.
Yep.
Kind of thing at the bars. Because like there's all kinds of drag queen on stage.
You can like do like these crowd pleasing top 40, you know, get the tips. And that's one style of performance. But I do love a really like thought through, curated, written number where I love a good like
mix, well conceptualized. Yes.
A conceptualized number. And I would say that is really what you find in Vancouver. I'd say overall the structure of like any kind of show, like I wouldn't really even say there's like a marathon kind of drag.
Right.
In Vancouver, because we have a surplus of talent. So why only have two queens doing so many numbers back to back? You could actually just have a fuller cast. It might mean a more crowded backstage, but who cares? Like it's a community we're building. So it's fun to have that many people included in each show. And this way now you can like really be mindful of representation and diversity. Yeah. I feel like Vancouver is always extremely top of mind with making sure each cast is colorful and fully diverse. And then everyone comes with these different POVs, these perspectives. And so there's some really fun drag out here in Vancouver.
Okay, let me ask you a question about this because I love talking about money. So I know in Toronto, marathon drag, you get paid like 100 to 150 bucks, right? To do like a marathon set. Mm-hmm. But then the tips during a marathon set, because you're on stage for so long, you make a lot more money in tips than you would in pay.
For sure.
What is it like in Vancouver in terms of like pay versus tips versus how much stage time you have?
I would say perhaps like maybe like a bit more upfront, like your rate per show. Like let's say it's more like 200 instead of 150.
Okay.
And then you also get tipped. And this is where if you come out in a fabulous costume, I find when I look my most expensive, then this like rush of tips will come in because people are like, I am impressed by the way you have presented yourself in this 6 minute presentation, this number, whatever you're doing. So I find like, I know what you mean as far as like exposure on stage. You're like, I'm on stage for half an hour, so I could physically take more money. Yeah. But I feel sometimes depending on how much, again, thought has gone into the number, you can kind of get it quickly. So I feel like it all works out in the wash, but you get more of a workout in Toronto. So get those abs.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say you do. I know you do make a lot more with how much in Toronto. You will make a lot more because
there's more people too, right?
There's more people. You can also like double, triple up on gigs. So like, imagine if you're doing like four marathon gigs and one after the other, you're leaving with bags of money, right? Yeah. So I find there's just a little bit more exposure and a little bit more accessibility into having a little bit more money. In the Toronto scene, I can find there's a lot more full-time performers in the Toronto scene. Like that's even true. Ones where you're like, you're a full-time performer, like it's almost surprising.
that's a good thing that you bring up, like the kind of like you're a full-time, because I think the style, and it takes a certain type of personality to want to do that, like just to go full bore like that rather than, you know, and not, and be okay with it because it's such a grind. Like it really turns it into something different than like, say like myself, like I really like the creative aspect. I could not do this if I was not doing the comedy and the improv, which pays shit. But like, it's a different, it's a different type of person or mindset, right?
Yeah, I find. And it's as a former like Toronto marathon-y village girl, like the opportunities that I would get to be creative were very few and far between. But when I would get to do them, it would be like so exciting. And you would just like hold on to this, like, oh, I can't wait to do this number. Like it would just be the, like the highlight of your month, you know, for you to be able to do this like conceptualized number. And it was kind of sad when people wouldn't like respond to it as well as they would respond to you, like doing like Britney Spears or Beyonce or something, you know?
Absolutely. And that's where competition shows, which I wish they would bring them back, like Cruisin' Tango's Drag Race, which you and I both did, Juice. You won it season seven, I think
I won season 7. I beat Priyanka. Yeah. That's all that matters.
That's correct. You won, she lost.
Yeah. Are they bringing, are they not bringing that back?
I don't know. They haven't. Yeah.
They should. It's a really, or Miss Cruz. Miss Cruz is a really, really good one.
Yeah.
Even Woody's used to have Zarina. That was a really good pageant that was sponsored by Smirnoff. Or Queen of Halloween is also a really, really good one at Woody's, although it is a little backwards.
Have you won that? I don't know. I saw
every time I compete in Queen and Halloween, I place, but I've never won. Although I feel like my Gollum should have won, but that's just me.
I agree. That's the thing is, like, what I think a lot of people who would just watch a show wouldn't know about you is that you are, like, such a phenomenal makeup artist and, like, SFX too, right?
Yeah, and concept queen. Like, I the stuff I've seen you do, like, at the Cruise and Tango's Drag Race or whatever, like, it was so cool. It's a bit of a departure from what you showed on, like, Drag Race with, like, the angel wings and getting stuck on your sequins.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like when it came to Drag Race, I kind of wanted to fall into a certain brand to not, like, confuse the audience or to sort of see things that they wouldn't really understand. When it came to me, I wanted it to come into, like, as, like, a pretty little package of, like, what my drag is.
Right.
But I did have in my package, I had a lot of throwbacks to the stuff that I'm really good at. I had, for the hair runway, I was supposed to come out as a full special effects werewolf. I had, like, long claws. I had the full facials. I had the teeth made. I had a full body thing of hair. Like, I had it all. And then I had a bunch of different, like, foam latex prosthetics with me for Drag Race. There was something where we were supposed to be old. I had, like, an old face there. So I had a bunch of stuff ready to sort of show those things. But, you know,
I know it blows my mind when I know you have these abilities, because I don't, my makeup artistry is, like, if there's kind of, like, your trifecta of skills to be a queen, the makeup artistry was, like, my biggest hurdle. So I always find it fascinating that Juice could do all of these things with makeup. And I love your hot girl aesthetic, but I was like, I would love every once in a while for you to, like, throw a curveball in there, like a Lady Gaga, like, cheekbone prosthetic. I would fucking scream.
I think maybe next year, because I was like thinking,
Alexis,
like, one
Stone
year
or something.
I was just gonna go full tilt into makeup, just, like, kind of, like, steer away from, like, some things and just, like, almost dedicate my Twitch channel into, like, different transformations and, like, doing these crazy makeups and stuff. It's just the only thing I don't like about that is, like, once it's on, then you're like, now what do I do?
I know.
Yeah.
I just gotta wash it off. Fuck. You know, that's my thing. Because it takes so long and you're so proud of it. And then you're like, well, guess I'm gonna take this off now.
Yeah.
I know there's an audience. Media. There's a demo, though, that doesn't know that you do that. They'd be, like, so into it.
I think so, yeah.
Very true. It's very true. Gotta stop playing it safe, Juice Box.
maybe get me on that All Stars.
Exactly. Well, I think that's a great opportunity. Well, why don't we take a quick breaky break and get back into the chat? Okay, squirrels?
That was my squirrel sound.
That's great.
I saw it.
Okay, we're back. Oh, what a fun. Did you have a squirrel tapping at the window or something like that?
There's squirrels everywhere, Hills. You know I live with them.
Yeah, there were.
I'm really impressed how trained you have them. They were doing the dance moves and everything. Very impressive, Selena.
Yeah. They wouldn't sing this time because they get a little camera shy, but.
That's why.
I'm surprised they survived in the box you sent them in, Selena.
No, they always do. You just poke a couple holes in them. They're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have the food? You're going to take care of them now, or are you setting them free into the wilderness in Vancouver now?
Oh, Stanley Park is right there. They're going to love it. Okay. They'll be happier if the coyotes don't get them.
Ooh, the coyotes is a big thing. We have coyotes here too. Like, just like
they were attacking runners earlier in the year. Like, they would, in fact, if you were running fast, a coyote would then instinctually think, like, that's my prey or whatever. So they said, be careful running on the seawall, which is, like, literally.
That's what you do.
Yeah. It was insane.
My husband calls them yellow-eyed bastards.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. So if he sees one, he'll be like, oh, there's those yellow-eyed bastards. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, who did I marry?
It was like full Deliverance.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah.
Well, we're back into the discussion. So I think we were talking a little bit about our, like, before times, but, like, What about getting on TV shows and doing famous people things? Like, how did that feel? How did that feel when it happened to you? And
what was the excitement? Yeah, like, what was, like, the excitement for you for getting on the show? Like, what were your anticipations? What were your hopes and dreams when you found out you got on it?
I mean, I didn't believe them. Like, I remember when they first cast me, I was just like, no, you're joking. Yeah. And they were like, no, you're on the show. And I was like, no, this is a joke. So, like, even, like, I dead ass was, like, paying for hair and doing all these things. And I was like, this is a prank show. I'm going to get there. They're going to be like, just kidding. It was a joke the whole time. So, like, I just had trouble believing it until I was basically there. But it was a wild ride to kind of, like, wrap your mind around, because it's so big. Like, it's such a large, large thing that comes. Like, me and my husband had to, like, adjust our relationship and, like, his presence in my life. Like, he didn't want anything to do. Like, he deleted all of his social media. Whoa. He deleted everything that had to do with anything being associated with being online, because he was just like, I don't want that to, like, affect my, you know, my life, my career, my privacy. Like, I don't want all those eyes on me too. So I had to take off all the photos of him off of my socials. Like, there's basically no trace of my husband, you know, within my social media or anything. Because that's like you have to pivot. You have to also think about the people who are in your life that are going to be, you know, going on this journey with you. So it's a wild thing to kind of get ready for Drag Race. Like, there's a lot of things you don't think about.
And it's also kind of like, you got to think about that when you're telling your story, because, like, let's say someone's talking about their family trauma, like, their family didn't ask to have their story told on the show, but it is your story. So, like, where's the balance there? You know what I mean?
100%. Like, I even knew when they were interviewing for the show, like, my dad's gay. I talk about it on the show. Yes. It's like, not everyone's dad is gay. So even me bringing that up in the interview process, I knew that was one of those, like, differentiating things about me that casting would say, like, oh, Cynthia does have some backstory here.
Yeah.
But then I had to, in between filming and airing, I like to speak to my dad and be like, hey, so, like, obviously, like, this is part of my experience. I kept it very topical because I knew, like, my dad wasn't on the show, so I don't have to, like, go into the nitty gritty, because it's not the most, like, sunshine and, like, perfection. Like, just because your dad's gay doesn't mean you don't have, like, trials and tribulations with your parents.
Right.
And so, but I had to, like, you know, prep him, being like, they've literally asked for a photo of you. Like, you are going to be on this show. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, he loved it. And the story was really cute. But it's intense, right? You're like, hey, I'm airing all this laundry. And I think, I don't know about you, Juice, but, like, since the show, it's changed a lot of things. Like, it did impact more than just me. And I think that was an oversight at the time. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this, like, reality TV show. And, like, that's going to be, like, my new career. But now it kind of changes everything in a way. Like, now it's, like, there's just a different amount of, like, accessibility. We can control that. Like, I love visiting my parents and, like, there not being any gigs and just really kind of be off the clock. I often just, like, separate my drag just so that they can still, like, have a connection with me. When I did like a Toronto show, I think my stepdad commented, he's like, oh, it's so hard to, like, access you. Cause then there's, like, this room of people that have like, quite frankly, paid for a meet and greet. I have my obligations as, like, Cynthia Kiss, the public image performer, trying to kind of make sure that that's the priority, because I'm so business oriented. It's like, they've come here for the show. I want to make sure their experience is
exactly
best.
Yeah.
So sometimes family has to take a second row seat, and that's new for them. So it's an adjustment for everybody.
Wild. So each of you has, like, a monumental thing about getting on the show. Like, Hillary, you were the first Canadian on Camp Wanakiki. Juicebox, you were on the first ever season of Canada's Drag Race. And then Cynthia, you got to do this after being away. And, like, no one expected you to be there because you had already left drag.
Me too. I didn't expect to be there. Mm. I auditioned because I didn't want a case of the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Like, I literally was just like, let's just bloody do it. Because there's going to, like, I love what I saw first season. I was like, wait, this is actually really great. It's not like, sometimes Canadian versions of shows can be a little, wah-wah. I liked what I saw. And then I just never heard no. And I know that's such a, like, unrelatable, annoying perspective, me just being like,
I just, like, submitted and got on. Like, whoa, is it hard?
But it's like, obviously they had their Brat Pack narrative and I fit the puzzle as far as casting. And yeah, it's changed my life. It's pretty crazy.
It was the Brat Pack and Beth. Beth is just not.
I want to change the name to Beth Pack.
Oh my God.
Beth Pack. I would watch. I would watch.
That's so true. I remember Juice back like when Drag Race Canada first came around. It came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I think all of the queens everywhere in Canada, especially in Toronto, I knew, we were all like going like, what the hell is this? We have to get ready for it in like 2 minutes. It did seem like a prank. Like, we never thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we were always like, well, this will never happen for us. We're Canadian. Like, we'll never have to worry about that. And then suddenly it was like, bam. Right.
Yeah. It just sort of just like burst in onto the scene out of nowhere. And I remember when the announcement first came out in Toronto, at least, it was like you could tell even in the bars, like shit was different. Like the air changed. Everyone had like a kind of like, there was just something about even like the aura in the bars. Like you could tell that things were just going to be different. Things were going to change. It was all anybody could talk about. It was all anybody could kind of have on their minds was just like, this was happening. It was going to happen to a select number of us, majority of us from Toronto, because I guess they thought, let's save money and not get anybody else from anywhere. But it was crazy, but it feels like it's almost like it was this blessing in disguise, because we were all these Toronto entertainers got to get on the show and we got these incredible careers from it, because everybody got to watch season one and all these things. But it felt like a lot of the headliners and a lot of like the top performers who are in Toronto are now not working in Toronto anymore. So it feels like it changed the city a lot. So
it did.
Yeah. And it's like, it's almost like the city needs to get its footings again, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's crazy because like we didn't know what to expect. Kind of think everybody had wanted to be on Drag Race for so long, didn't think it would have been possible for us. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was right there. And then like everyone kind of feels entitled to get on. Like everyone feels like this is for me. This is my show. Who's going to get on with me, kind of thing.
Well, yeah. drag queens have to have this like percentage of delusion at all times to be a drag queen. And so that so quickly parlays into an audition tape being like, I wonder who's going to be on with me.
Do you know what my biggest pet peeve is though with that? And like, I feel bad saying it because like live your dreams, you know, have fun, live your truth. But when girls are like, well, my storyline will be, and then when they cast me and this girl, we're obviously going to be cast as these girls. And then like, we're going to have this fight and then this will happen. And it's just like, diva, you have no idea what's going to happen until you walk through those doors.
Yeah,
like they could cast you as the girl who like, this is your storyline that they have planned for you. And it blindsides you, you know, like they don't know the intimate inner workings of the drag scene in your city. They have no idea. They're just like a bunch of white gays sitting in their office looking at the audition tape. So whatever you've shown them, unless you out of your way went, I fucking hate this queen. If you cast her, we're going to have problems. Like that's the only way they're going to know if there's going to be some kind of fight. So I don't know. It's just always so annoying, but whatever.
100%.
You can't make it up. And that's so true. Cause on Wanakiki, I don't think there's much storyline stuff. It's a very different show. Mm-hmm. It's very like, keep it positive. Like they actually resist drama. And we're always in character too on that show. So it's
You're in drag 100% of the time on screen. We never see you at a drag until you get kicked off, which you never did.
And we're also in the woods. So anyway, it's different.
Do you get ready with like running water though? Like how do you
They have to go down to the well.
And we take a little shower and we jump.
No, there's like a little washroom station, I would hope, right? It's like campgrounds.
Yeah, it's like a kids' camp. So like there's a bunk.
So there is still facilities. There's something. Okay. I was like, are you literally getting ready in like a bucket? I was
It's not Survivor. They don't put them in the middle of the
It's not season one, we had to shave in a bucket. That's what we had to do.
Yes.
We had to shave in a
Because
I'm dead serious.
Whenever I see people like on the show in the workroom shaving, I'm like, where's your sink? What are you doing?
Yeah. They told us we had to shave before we got there. And if we didn't, part of the challenge of the workroom, the quote unquote workroom challenge, is that there's no running water and we're not allowed to go to the bathroom to shave our faces.
Shut up.
They provided us with buckets of water that we had to share to shave in until I had a hissy fit and said, I'm bleeding in this water. We can't share this because my blood is in it. And then I finished shaving and left, and I don't know how they fixed it, but then they kicked me off. So I don't know what happened.
This is why ACTRA has a problem with candidates. This is why ACTRA members are not allowed on that show.
Yeah. That's why.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Season one, they had to figure it out.
They did. You were the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Hillary, you also like had a journey of all getting close calls being on the show.
Oh, and I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I applied for the first couple of seasons, but the pandemic really kind of got in the way. You know, so.
Yeah. Because season three, you couldn't get there during the pandemic.
Yeah. So like, I didn't even think I'd get on. And so suddenly they called me and were like, oh, come and do this one. You know, and I did it, and it was fun. But yeah, fun.
And there it is.
But yeah, COVID was like a real deal filming season two. Like, you have to remember like the time when everyone was on with a mask on their face. Yes. Like, there are people to this day that I don't know what the lower half of their face looks like from production, because I never saw it. And any time we were done filming, it was like mask on. And then it just like, I attribute to that as far as why there's not a lot of drama found in my season, because there's just such a human nature to be at ease when like we've been so like pent up and lack of connection, that I think 12 strangers were just happy to connect. And so that's where it was a little lovey-dovey.
For the love of drag. For real. Because you were the first season to film during the pandemic. Because Juice, yours filmed before and then aired during.
It was 2019.
Yeah,
swabs every day. Like, there was actually the back of your head thought that if I test positive, like, I'm out of the competition right now. So like every single day I would get a nose swab. It was like, you know, any little sniffle or like sore throat, you're like, what? Like, is this going to be the reason I go home? We saw it in one season, wasn't it? Victoria, what's her name? The UK queen.
Victoria's gone. Caught.
No, I got the name.
Sorry, Veronica Green.
Veronica got COVID.
Veronica, she caught COVID. And so it's like, it was a real factor. So that was kind of an added thing invisible to the audience, because they created a fantasy where COVID didn't exist when rolling.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's wild.
It is. It was like sci-fi.
What was it like on Wanakiki?
It was like that. But I mean, like, the States and Canada were very different places. Like, I went down to the States and like no one was wearing masks anywhere. Like, it was very different. So like coming back to Canada after I was done, it was kind of like coming back to lockdown. We were handling it very differently as countries.
A little different than America.
A little different. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. No, truly.
Yeah. What a wild ride. Well, what about after now? Like, what are we doing now? Now we're podcast queens. Let's talk about the podcast.
So also including podcasting, but like coming back when you had your gigs before you left, or not, Cynthia. I don't know if you started drag before you came back on, but.
Not really. I had done maybe like the year before going on the show. I think I had like one or two performances here or there. I did like a fashion show and then a big show because Tommy, my now manager, put it on. Yeah. And because we're friends, he was like, hey, do you want to do this one? It was actually It's Just Drag. It was an event that just wrapped this year. Yeah, that's where I met Juice.
Oh, shit. No way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, cute.
So like very seldom.
Yeah. Not a lot of drag.
So I tried to buy her outfit off of her because I was like, you don't do drag a lot, right? Do you want that outfit? And she went, I do really want that outfit. Yes. So no, you can't buy it. And I was like, okay.
I should have given it to you. Would have been cute. It would have been cute. I'll give it to you now.
So you come back from filming. Obviously, you go back to like whatever you were doing before. But then once it starts airing, your life changes because you're not going back to your bar gigs, basically. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like... Now, because you've been on this show, I think there's like a code, is there not, where like as girls who have been on TV, we don't do the bar gigs anymore, at least not for the price that we were getting before, because it kind of undercuts everybody else's value.
Yes.
Yeah, that's totally a thing. So how have you navigated your career post Drag Race?
Can y'all hear that dumpster?
No.
Okay, good. Pretend that's it's not
where,
happening.
That's they where their it. Career is at. That's where my career is at. Hillary's career backing in just in the dumpster.
My career was weird post Drag Race because my premiere happened in 2020.
Yes.
So for me, it was just like I was getting to watch like my dreams like come true and like all these things. Even though I was eliminated first, I was still a part of the cast. So I still was getting all the attention. But because of that, I was living with my parents at the time. It was before me and my husband were able to buy our house. So I'm like in my hometown, living with my parents, kind of just like getting all of this like pressure, and I'm mourning the loss of this like career that was supposed to be happening. It's right in the middle of like Black Lives Matter. So there's this like massive shift with like the culture and everything around it there. And then you're also thrust with this newfound like celebrity. So you feel like you almost like have to say something and have to do something and have to be a part of a louder voice because you now have this platform. So there was just like, there's so much pressure happening in that first year that's different than what I think a lot of other girls got when they first get on, because
100%.
There's the pressure, but there's also the money, and then there's like being with fans who love you when the only thing that I'm seeing is just whatever I choose to read online.
Yeah.
Right. So that was the kind of the only connection that I got. So when I was actually able to like go out to the bars and like work, this past summer was the first summer I was actually able to like really work and like travel and kind of get that Drag Race experience. I would say like to each bar, I'd be like, I didn't get to get this kind of love. I didn't get to get this kind of travel. So like, thank you for coming to the show. Thank you for, you know, celebrating us. Like, I really appreciate it because I didn't get this experience. And this is kind of like me finally getting that like moment that I really wanted. So it was a strange sort of way to maneuver post Drag Race for me, because I had a really slow build into getting the career that I almost wanted to have from the show.
Right. Oh my God, 2020 was a time. Like that
2020
was...
to like 2022 was like rough. Yeah, we were like in lockdowns for a while, babe.
Truly.
True story.
Yeah, that truly reminds me of that iconic Michelle Visage quote when RIP, what's her name from season 8, said, I don't have a lot of money. And she's like, girl, yeah, Chi-Chi, Devane, I'm going to go out. I don't have a lot of money. It's like, don't worry. After this, you're going to be fine. It's like, are you though? Especially like in this Drag Race world, there's so many seasons. There's so many things. There's Camp Wanakiki. We're competing against you. So, I mean, like, there's so many things to compete against and like so much. Like, it's not a guarantee.
Right. Anymore. You've got to work really hard for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally. Was it ever, you know?
Yeah. And I think like that raises a good point where I think like that saying, comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. We can often compare ourselves to, you know, American queens from the show and see how like, even though they're, you know, their season premiered after both of our respective seasons, their career still might have a different looking trajectory. At this point, I think Juice and I both do a really great job of like assessing our situation, the reality of our, you know, quote unquote brand and where we can take that and what we can do with that. And I think as long as you're trying to be, you know, smart about your choices, that's all you can do. Like, don't look at like the top echelon of like seasons and be like, why am I not there? It's like, be happy for the opportunities you have and make the best of it. I don't know.
Exactly.
Okay, flop, calm down.
flop and let me flop.
I have a question. What? Because this is something that I thought was just so crazy when I was waiting for my season of Camp Wanakiki to come out.
You waited a year. You waited a full year.
Jesus.
But the thing is, like, the waiting. How did you deal with the waiting? Because the waiting is... That is a process in itself.
A year is insane. That's a long time.
That's too much.
Because you're just Drag Race,
you wait like 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like six. But still, like you kind of have this secret that, you know, to yourself, and you have to like, you put pressure on yourself to like be ready. And then you create this expectation of like, bam, bam, bam. And like also Juicebox, for example, you know that you had to go home for, you had to take the bullet. You know, like that's
and nobody in Toronto knew how to keep a secret, especially for my season. So I had people coming up to me at gigs being like, you're still a star to me. And me being like, Like, did you not like my set? And having to like play dumb. One person, there were people that I used to work with a lot, came up to me and the first thing that they said were, "We're so sorry we heard about what happened on the show, but like, you're such a star and we love you so much." And I got so fucking angry that I was like, I need you both to get the fuck away from me because this is ridiculous. Like, you're not supporting me right now. If anything, you're making things awkward because you know I'm not allowed to talk about it. And you're kind of being a little condescending.
So
it's just like, this is fucked up.
I know a lot of the girls that were on my season, like, it's such a hard thing. Like, they were really going through it, like, knowing that they're gonna see this history repeat itself, and you know, it's like hard. You know, see yourself the result.
Where are their birds? Who has
it's an open
window with birds?
It's so Cynthia. Annoying.
Oh my God, is it spring out there?
It's the
no,
crows.
She just lives in paradise.
It's the crows. I'm so
the
sorry.
The crows have eyes.
So for editing, if anytime there's me not talking, just cut my audio. Because they're...
No, keep it in. It's beautiful.
It's wait for the seaplane to fly by. Just...
One wasn't landing the other day, ladies. It was just going in circles. And I was going insane. But yeah, sorry about that.
This is great. I mean... This is wonderful. Wonderful. We're being attacked by birds at the end of the podcast. And I love it. Wow.
Well, Cynthia, why don't you talk about the pressure of waiting for your season to premiere?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I felt like once I got back, because I was so rusty and busty, I was like, I need to start doing some fucking gigs again because I don't remember what it's like to do this full time. Like, you have to remember, like, imagine, like, not putting yourself into drag for a minute, just being in a corset, being padded, being in shoes, everything. It's uncomfortable. And so my body was literally, there were points where, like, my, like, hip flexors would, like, go numb, like, these immense nerve pains because of the way I wasn't used to being, like, hoisted and held up. So I felt very, like, out of drag shape, even though the show, like, it was almost like this intense, you know, tournament or something that I did. And then it was like, as an athlete, I need to actually get into like long-term physical ability because I felt I just wasn't there yet. So when I got back, I, you know, certain people kind of knew that I'd been away, you know, to the Thunderdome summer camp, if you will. And so from there, I just was like, well, yeah, I kind of want to start performing again because I just felt super rusty. So for me, it was, just kind of performing more. And then people would maybe know, like give a little like wink, wink. I know you're on the show and you just play dumb. I didn't have to have the same burden like you, Juice. That would be very annoying if people know you going home first. Because sometimes promoters don't want to book you for viewing parties later in the season if they know you're not going to still be a competitor in the season. So that's why, I don't know if you touch on that, Juice, where that can sometimes impact when people know they might not book you for like the viewing party circuit that you can do.
That happened a lot.
The ranking is tough.
It's bullshit.
Because you did pretty good.
It's like middle of the pack.
You're like,
I went home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I went home fifth.
Yeah. No. So like, no, you're further. You're like seventh.
So yes. Seventh place. Yeah.
But like something.
And
like
you're a Snatch Game winner. Yeah.
Snatch Game winner. Thank you.
So, I mean, that comes with its own kind of feeling. Like, were you dreading the moment when you had to relive the trauma?
The birds are getting angry for me. They're saying, yes, exactly. It was trauma.
The birds have answered.
No, I was really proud of, like, honestly, ladies, I was so shocked that I was there that, like, for me the entire time, I just was like Taylor Swift being like, I won. Oh, my God. I won the whole time. So, like, for me, it was gravy to last that long and to win the Snatch Game. I was like, I'm proud of this. Hopefully this is enough to maybe one day get asked back to do like an All-Stars experience. Mm-hmm. Because even in this like year post show, I feel like I'm just so much more mentally, emotionally understanding like what it is to be like a well-rounded performer. And so I want to share that with the world, like if the opportunity were to present itself. Shine.
Shine.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Thank you. Shine by the Brat Pack. Thank you. We're proud of that.
It was written by Leah Alice Canali, and was it Stacey K?
Yes. Oh my God. Thank you for shouting them out. And
the Brat Pack as well. I love Leah. Yeah.
Oh, I love such a great singer. And Stacey is the most amazing ball of energy. They're both top notch.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're just about at the end, but like now you've got your podcast. What what are you shouting into the world? Are you excited for this whole thing? And is this like, is this the end of your life?
I know, sometimes I think that. I think I could die fairly happy. I was like, I feel like I've done a lot of things. Like, truly. Yes. In like 30 years, I'm like, I've done quite a bit. And at this point, going forward, that's why the mantra is very broad. Cool projects with cool people is like as open-ended as I want to keep it, because that seems to be filling my like soul. So I'm like, I'm happy. Yeah. Everything feels like
crazy. I think there's a lot of stuff with Semi-Qualified Queens that we want to like grow with it as like a brand and be able to create kind of like bigger and cooler things. We've got a lot of stuff that we've like talked about, a lot of stuff that we want to bring people on for different projects. So I think it's not, we don't want to keep it in just like a podcast we do every week. I think we want to grow it into something that can kind of have a little bit more beef to it.
Right.
Beef it up.
Beef.
I mean, I'm satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with that. Are you satisfied with that, Selena? Do you have any pressing questions?
No, I'm done. I'm out of questions.
She was like, I was just going to ask, are you going to beef it up?
Where's the beef?
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us, ladies. Our sonar sisters.
Yes. Thank you. Welcome to the network.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on our pod.
I am honest to God so happy that y'all are still reviewing Drag Race, so we don't have to
work. Yeah.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Heavy is the head that wears the headphones.
That's right. And here's hoping you get yourself, because I know you presented at the Canadian Podcast Awards last season.
Yes.
Let's keep our fingers crossed that there's going to be a win for you in the future.
Yeah, that would be so chic. I literally would be honored. You know, you present, then you get nominated, and then maybe you'll win.
Maybe win. Take it home, girly pop. Take it home. I love that. Yeah.
As Selena and I, you two are the fake Katya and Trixie. Selena and I like to call ourselves the Trixie and Katya of Etobicoke. So,
oh, I love that. Yeah.
No one goes to Etobicoke. No one goes there.
Etobicoke. The Ben and Jinx of Scarborough, you know.
Wait, what did one guy call it? Etobicoke-y?
Etobicoke, I think.
No, but somebody called it something. It was, I think it was Beware of Cats or Don't Fuck with Cats.
Etobicoke.
He called it like Etobicoke. Yeah, Etobicoke. He called it Etobicoke. And everyone was like, huh?
Honestly, it makes sense. Etobicoke.
I have a British friend and she was like, what's that city called Mississauga?
Oh my God.
So embarrassing. Close.
Well, a lot of their stuff doesn't make sense either. Like Leicestershire, Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
That's what I said. Well, ladies, thank you for having us. This was fabulous.
Yeah,
don't be a stranger. We have to have you on Semi-Qualified Queens one day.
We'll sneak in there sometime.
Well, you know, let us know. We'll sneak it in. Thank you so much, Squirrels. Thank you, Juicebox. Thank you, Cynthia Kiss. I think we got our little topic before, present, and after, or whatever the hell we discussed.
We went off the rails. It's all good.
Honestly, I think we did it. I think we had a timeline in there. I heard it.
The lining of questioning lined up somehow.
Yeah. So make sure you follow Squirrel Talk. We're going to be doing lots of cool, fun interviews and topic chats. Keep following us every couple of weeks. We're going to be back with a new pod. Okay.
You can follow us on the Instagram at Squirrel Talk Podcast. You can follow us individually.
Do we want to do shout outs? I mean, like Cynthia and Juice, do you want to do your Instas or something like that? I don't know.
Totally. Hello. You can follow Semi-Qualified Queens on Insta at Semi-Qualified Queens Pod. Click the link tree. And from there, you can find our accounts, our Patreon, all that good stuff. Climb our link tree.
Excellent. And you can find us all individually at Selena Vile, at Hillary S, at Juicebox. Is it just at Juicebox? Or is Juicebox official?
No, I've got like, just go to my link tree. It's like, you can't just get just Juicebox. You've got an official queen, all these things. Just go to my link tree.
She's named after
Org.
Everett. Yeah, Org. It's just too much.
So thank you so much. And we'll be back with some more content next time. See, this is how you do an outro, girls. You just like ramble. Ramble for a really long time because, you know, they don't want you to stop talking.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you've got to the end And then they're like, oh no, there's no more talking anymore. So you just have to keep rambling for a while.
And then you keep remembering things that you're supposed to say as you're starting to say goodbye. So make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe. Click the button below.
Toot and boot and follow and assess. Okay, well, goodbye, everybody.
All right, goodbye now.
Bye.